radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 13. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. In a couple of moments, we were singing Amazing Grace. She was smiling. 2 days later, she was out of that ward. You say, did you heal her? I didn't heal her. I gave her truth, turned on some lights, and gave her freedom by virtue of a scriptural truth. And I could pray for her with faith that we were on the right track. You see, you can't take piecemeal that everything is supposed to be perfect in the Christian's life, because sometimes we're called to go through a fiery trial. And sometimes we've got to get into a thicket to know our Savior comes and gets us out of a thicket. Sometimes in the Scriptures we see that Timothy had a problem with the stomach. We have Paul with a thorn in the flesh. We also have, at the end of his letter to Timothy, this is his last letter, he says, salute Priscilla, it's Prisca and Aquila, and the house of Onesiphorus. He says, Erastus abode at Corinth. He's not with me. He says, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Isn't that interesting? Why does he say that? The last word on the page for Paul is, I left this person in Miletus sick. Why did he say that? Because he wanted us to know healing is not something that is going to always be afforded us. Can God heal? Yes, as sure as he can get that man out of that blown up car, he can heal. If we take good counsel, we get good medical help, God can facilitate and turn things around. We should ask, we saw when they asked him to teach us to pray. Ask! It's okay to ask! But you have to understand that God's program right now is more geared toward our suffering than it is for our safety, security, and prosperity. You see, in the Old Testament, people who prospered, they were Abraham and all those guys, prosper, prosper, prosper. It seemed like a blessing. But to you and me, some people, well, we go through hard times. Well, I give you that because it's something we need to see. He sees this woman, she's got a spirit of infirmity, and he heals her. He says, you're loosed from your infirmity. And he says, then immediately she was made straight, just like one of our ladies in Pennsylvania. She was immediately made straight and glorified God. The Bible says in verse 14, and the ruler of the synagogue answered, and he was indignant. He said, 6 days you have, you can work. He says, but come on those days and be healed. He says, but not on the Sabbath day. The word for healed here is the word therapeuo again. And I'll contrast that with another word in the passage that Luke alone uses. He says, you take an ox. He says, you hypocrite. There it is again. He's dealing with these people. Everybody's patting themselves on the back. I'm so spiritual. Wait a minute. I'm a mess. I don't know about you, but I'm a mess. I need Jesus. Through weakness, I rejoice. Through weakness, I rejoice, as we sang this morning. And I hope that's your experience, because this is not an easy world to live in. And it's getting weirder and weirder. And so he's dressing these people down who are trying to paint a portrait that somehow works and behavior is what God's worried about. God is not worried about works and behavior. He's worried about our hearts and our future. And so he did everything necessary to save those who would come to him. And the Bible says here, he looks at them and he says, you hypocrite, you know, think. You're the ruler of the synagogue. You're the guy who cleans up the hymnals at the end of the hour. You're the guy who makes sure everything's in its place for the meetings. He says, you hypocrite. He says, what one of you has an ox or an ass and will not take him from his stall and lead him to water? You're working. You're taking care of the ox. And shall not this daughter of Abraham, who has been bound 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Listen, she showed up. 18 years after this infirmity bound her up, not understanding which way was up, she was bent over, bound, but she showed up. And Jesus saw that she had not lost heart or given up. Listen, don't ever give up on Jesus. Keep going back someday, some way, somehow. Just show him that you understand that this world is transient. You understand that nobody's getting out alive. You understand that one day you will go through the gate of death, and you want to be on the right side of that. You just keep going to him, and he will show up for you. If you don't understand your way, get counsel. If you don't understand which way is up or how to get free from a thicket, then you show up and you find people who you feel like can give you some answers, because there are answers to be had. Verse 17 says, and when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. That's what's going to happen in eternity. And it says, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. Aren't you glad there's a glorious place in the world? It's Jesus. You keep looking at him, you can find reason to rejoice, even though it's a mess out there. Verse 18, he says, what will I liken the kingdom of God unto? What does it resemble? Verse 19 says, it's like a mustard seed. Man plants it. It becomes a great tree. And circle this one word specifically, and the fowls of the air lodge in the branches of it. He says, Jesus started something very small, and as the time would unfold, it would get very large. And when it got very large, more hypocrites would come into it. More hypocritical leaders, more people who are antagonistic to the true faith. And he says, listen, what shall I like in the kingdom of God? That's what it's like. I'm going to set this thing in motion. And by the end of the age, it's going to be very difficult to find your way. Because the fowls of the air, which are the ones who eat the seed on the wayside, the fowls are always related to those who are demonic forces coming to thwart the purpose of God. He says, if you didn't get that, he says, I could also liken it unto a woman who took leaven, and she hid it in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. You see, the devil will hide inside the church, and then eventually the church will be overtaken by leaven. Leaven is always likened as a type of sin because sin can't be contained and it just contaminates everything. That's why in 1 Corinthians 5 it says, purge out the old leaven and become a new lump. Why? Because leaven is sin. You can't be putting up with the sin. Verse 22, he went on teaching and journeying, and one said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Underline that, because that's an interesting question. I think it's a very important question. He says, shall few be saved? He says, strive ye to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, there is a journey, there is a road, and there is a gate, and there is a way. And the thing is that you have a choice. Just like these people he's been dealing with this far, all these Pharisees and Sadducees and all these lawyers, they're hanging out. He's reaching to them. He's trying to bring them along. He went into the one's house and had dinner and was dressed down there and had to teach that guy. He's constantly working with them. He wants them to be saved. They're God's people. But he says, many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Not because they don't want to, but because they've basically created a vortex in which they can't get out. We would possibly refer to that as a stronghold. He says, they will want to enter, but they shall not be able. In verse 25, he says, when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand outside and to knock on the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer, I know you not whence you are. This is an interesting verbiage because basically he's already told us about the wedding, the feast in the last chapter. Now he's telling us about the door being closed. But he's got people outside, and they want in, and they think they should. Hey, it's us. You know us. He says, I know you not whence you are. You ever heard somebody say, I don't even know where you're coming from. I don't even know where you're coming from. You see, people think they're saved because they do good works. They think they're saved because they've been born into some kind of privilege. They think they're saved because they've given money. They think they're saved because they prayed once or twice. They think they're saved because they went to church. They think they're saved because they were born in America. That's not how you get saved. And if you don't know that that's not how you get saved, it's because you've been allowing yourself to knit together a theology that is not based on the Scriptures. You see, the Word of God is clear. And it is incumbent upon every one of us to get to know that Bible intimately so we know we're on the right page. To test yourself whether you be of the faith. As 2 Corinthians 13 talks about, whether you even be in the faith. Because a lot of times people get themselves in a stronghold position where there's a difficulty. And he says the very same thing again. He says in verse 26, he says, then shall you begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in your presence. And this is very interesting. We've eaten and drunk in your presence. And they had. He'd been at the Pharisee's house. There'd been people in the house. We've eaten in your presence. And he says, and you taught in our streets. This is Israel. He's dealing with Israel in a very deliberate way, but it could be said in the church of our day. Maybe you were there when a great movement of the Spirit of God happened 20 years ago. Maybe you were at this campaign or that campaign and everything was really happening, but in your world, you had really never changed. You never made the adjustment. You never got on the right path. You just thought, I'll walk alongside of the path. Man, everybody loves me. Everybody affirms me. Everybody knows me. He says, no. He says, we were in your streets. We ate with you. Or you were in our streets and we ate with you. He says, I don't know where you're coming from. In verse 27. Not that he doesn't understand it, but he says, I don't recognize that. And ultimately he says, depart from me. And here's the key to understanding it. Verse 27. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Do you know what iniquity is? It's lawlessness. People who do not come to God's Word don't understand that God's law is what they've broken. They don't understand that sin is serious and that Jesus is the one who satisfied the demands of the law, and thus He is the only one who gets credit for our salvation. You can't save yourself and you can't help God out. All you can do is take God at His Word. The Bible says Abraham believed God, it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's how it is. And we are all sons of Abraham when we do as he did. He says he would make Abraham a father of many nations, and that's how that happens. And he says, and Abraham, the nations would be blessed because he brought us the secret to salvation. And so lawlessness is somebody who, you know, throws all that to the wind, sometimes becomes anti-Semitic, doesn't understand the realities of the Scriptures. He says, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth in verse 28. What happened a minute ago? You shall all likewise perish. Can many be saved? You see what this passage is doing? He's saying, guys, listen. There is a way that is right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You need to repent. You need to change your mind. He says, listen, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac, verse 28, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And you yourselves thrust out. You know he's talking to the rulers. He talked to them earlier when he said, those who knew got many stripes. Those who didn't know very much, they'll get few stripes. But there's a greater damnation to the leaders. He says, they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. He's talking about millennial kingdom now. He says, this is going to happen. The church is going to be born on Pentecost, but a little more than 2,000 years is going to go by, and all of a sudden he's going to take that bride out, and then you're going to be as men waiting for the bridegroom to return from the wedding. He says that's the disposition. And Jews were on the shelf for all those years. They're still a people because God's people have His promise. David was told, I will never allow you to cease to have a seed to sit upon the throne of David. Jesus has not sat upon that throne. He is the rightful heir. He is coming back. And you and I see Him saying as much right here. And these Pharisees wanted a ruler on this earth where they got high seats and front rows and all the stuff, but they wouldn't change their disposition or their minds. And He says, they shall come from the east, from the west, to sit down in the kingdom of God. And notice He says in verse 30, it says, there are last that shall be first, and there are first that shall be last. That makes more sense when you understand it as before Jesus died and how the Israel went under a blindness for 2,000 years, and after Jesus comes to get His church and all Israel is saved, 144,000 Jewish evangelists, then you have a multitude being saved, and you have Israel in a day seeing Him whom they pierced. And when the Lord Jesus comes back and saves them at the critical moment, steps on the Mount of Olives, splits it in two, they run into it, come out on the other side, and it's a happy day. And Jesus is here, and David is here, and Moses is here, and all the people who've been running for their lives because Antichrist is altogether after them, trying to destroy them. Oh, that would never happen. Think Hitler. Think Haman. Think the pogroms in Russia. The people of Israel have been constantly hounded throughout the ages. And what we're seeing is it's going to happen. And He's going to call them all back.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.